Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Well, good morning, End Times crew. Welcome to the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. We're broadcasting from the American Redoubt. Welcome, one and all, and good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you, and good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Wifflebat Wednesday. Well,
yes.
Well, so we made it through Passover week, and it was that was a lot of fun. That was, I think, that you and I had several great dinners.
Yes, and some great teachings, some great getting into the Word. And it was really cool, too, because, you know, we have, I think this is the most we have dived in to the Passover and really explored it and, you know, just, I guess, observed it all the way through. And so it was just, you know, it's, I guess, an enhanced experience from before, where we just basically recognized it, but didn't really get the full experience of it. So yeah, this was really cool. It was a blessing.
Yep, I agree. Well, and so now we just get to see where it all leads to, and that date is kind of, you know, if this is a mirror of the Nineveh experience of repentance with Jonah and the solar eclipse that happened at that time and then the 40 days that they had to wait, right?
Yeah, it was a really interesting interview that we saw with Pastor Troy Brewer, who, boy, he's knowledgeable and really the deeper level stuff as far as scripture and, you know, these, I guess, foreshadowings and how God works. And so, you know, he was pointing out, well, we've pointed out before, but we just watched this yesterday, where he pointed to the solar eclipse that took place in Syria, Nineveh, during that time. I don't know, it was like 720, 732 BC or something like that. Anyway, and how that was the prophetic sign then was, you know, in 40 days, this place will fall if you don't repent. And we're not making predictions as far as this means America is going to fall in 40 days if we don't repent because we had a solar eclipse. But there are some parallels there. And we were told in the Bible, pay attention to these things. God speaks.
That's right.
To us in ways that if you're tuned in, you can see it in hindsight, you know, and say, oh, how could we have missed this?
Right.
So
yeah, that's a terrible thing to do to yourself, too. That's a horrible way to beat yourself up, because while you're in it, just surrender that you don't know, right?
We don't know, and we trust in him. Yep. And you know, there are things that we do know, but as far as the timelines, we don't know.
Right.
But we do, you know, we've said this from the beginning, 2024 is going to be a moving, shaking year. Expect the unexpected, expect, you know, spectacular things to unfold, because the warfare that's taking place at in the spiritual realm is intense.
Right. And what something that we noticed that we heard several pastors describing, and especially Troy Brewer as well, was that, yes, understand that when all of these signs are happening, that it is a clear need for everybody to repent. And so without a doubt, I mean, that's the entire Bible basically describing all through the Old Testament how you know, when you start to see these signs, they're the same for every single generation, that if, you know, if your nation is participating in too much sin, it starts to look just like this, because God is about ready to judge that nation as a correction, a very severe correction. And so that's exactly what we're seeing right now. And so of course, we are exactly right on track with everybody needing to repent, needing to be close to the Lord and in the Word daily, because that truly is the only way that you can actually continue to be close. And, you know, it's because how would you be close? Like, if you're a couple, if you and your spouse don't ever talk, you know, right. if you just avoid each other all the time and you maybe talk to each other once a week, maybe for 10 minutes or something, you know, that would be about the same thing as picking up the Bible once a week and maybe just glancing through half a chapter.
Right.
You know, that's
letting
not,
somebody else read a half a chapter to you and then you're good. You don't have any other relationship with God for the rest of the week.
That's right.
Just what you're saying. Yeah. And, you know, these are not normal times. I mean, if there was ever a time that you should be drawing closer, right now is it.
Oh, yeah.
Because otherwise, there's going to be, well, look at the news headlines. You know, you think, oh, the world's gone mad. Everything is topsy-turvy. Everything's, you know, everybody's insane. Well, it's true. So cling to what is solid as a rock.
Yep.
And that's his word. And
well, and not just that, not just you be close to God, but be a light to others as well, that you can help them, because it's, you know, we're like a revolving door. What the Lord fills us up with is meant to go out to others.
And very true.
And yep. So, you know, that other people need that just as much as we do. And so help be that light to other people in this time, because this is truly tumultuous. And you might just be doing somebody a huge favor by just being solid and being in the word that you respond accordingly in a godly manner, you know.
Right.
And so that's kind of what we're all called to do anyway, is, you know, in addition to helping the people that outright need it, but also being an example. There's two ways to be a godly example. You can actually actively engage in helping somebody, or you can just walk your faith. You know, you may not even engage anybody, but your conduct is your testimony. And so your testimony of people just seeing you and your conduct also changes people's lives.
Sure.
And so, you know, especially if you're not real great at talking to people or evangelizing or being real forthright about, you know, hey, do you know the Lord? You know, that kind of thing, especially to strangers.
Yeah.
You can,
some people have a knack for that.
You can witness to them just in your actions, you know, offer a smile, a compliment, maybe pay for something that they don't have enough money to pay for, you know, something that is just a godly action.
Well, and right now people are so much more, I think, susceptible to the Word of God in a world of increasing perplexity, yep, where people are looking for answers, solutions, comfort, then they would be much more susceptible to the gospel.
Absolutely.
And of course, by the same, on the other side of that, people are becoming much more hostile toward the gospel. And that's that spiritual component.
Right.
A world at war with God, which God's going to be dealing with here soon.
That's right.
But for those that are seeking comfort, answers, you know, and trying to make sense of this, who are not Christians, this is a really good opportunity, or a good time to look for those opportunities to share the gospel with people, and maybe something you haven't done before, but now those opportunities will open up for you.
That's right.
And you can be more bold about it.
Yep.
So, okay, well, good. Well, speaking of that, let's get to the word of the day for today. And this is a random turning.
This is a random turning. And so the word of the day for Wifflebat Wednesday comes to us from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, which read under the title, The Coming Messenger. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years, and I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob, yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Do not rob God. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And that's it.
There we go.
Well,
good one.
And that's very good, because what he's describing here, especially about when he comes, he's going to be the swift witness against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, and those who exploit the vulnerable, basically.
Yes.
And that is a great thing to recall, because it was, what, just yesterday? It was just yesterday, or was it the day before, that we were talking about how to find out if your lamp is full, right? By doing a self-check as to,
right,
are you bearing fruit? Are you showing the fruit of the Spirit in the things that you're doing? Are you showing the fruit of the flesh, right?
Right.
And so, showing that he's going to be swift against those kind of actions, that the fruit of the flesh, he's going to be swift against that.
Yes.
In his judgment. And so that's exactly the opposite of having your oil lamp full.
Right.
Right. And so I have this list here. I thought I'd just bring this out just for quick reference, because we didn't have it the other day right in front of us that we could just refer to it.
Okay.
And so, for the self-check, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so if that's pretty much not your conduct every day,
yeah,
stop the second you notice that it's not. And
right.
Seriously, stop. Just stop. Get a hold of the fact that you need to, control your thoughts for a minute. And rebuke any thoughts that you have that are not falling under that list, because that's where you're required to, change the way that you think. Right.
Well, exactly, because right now we're at the edge, the final 11th hour, 11th minute, the 59th minute of the 11th hour of Christ returning.
Right.
And one of the things that he said was, make sure that you are worthy.
Yep.
To not have to go through the tribulation.
That's right.
Right. In other words, he's going to snatch his church, those who are worthy, with him, and you won't have to go through the great tribulation if you are worthy. So how are you worthy? Well, your lamp is full of oil.
That's right.
Well, how do you know if your lamp is full of oil? The oil is representative of the Holy Spirit. Well, you're going to have, if your lamp is full of oil, there will be evidence by the fruits of the Spirit, which you just listed, you just read.
Right.
So if you don't have that, you may not be found worthy, because you are not righteous, worthy.
Well, you haven't taken your thoughts captive. You haven't.
Right. You don't have the oil, so you're not worthy to be saved.
Right.
Because a time's coming when those who are here will be tested. They'll be tested because they weren't worthy to be taken out of that And that testing is the hardships that they'll be facing during the tribulation.
Right. And just like we just read here in verse 2 and 3, where it says, "But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver." And so this is what, this is that refining process is what causes you to take your thoughts captive.
Right.
It's what causes you to go, oh, wait a minute, self-check. I'm starting off on the wrong foot today, or maybe I've gone down the wrong path. Now I'm in this foul mood or whatever. Just stop the second you recognize that and rebuke any demonic attacks that you may be having, because that's, again,
yes,
recognizing the second they start. We can't see them, but we can hear them, and we instantly assume that they're our own thoughts that, yes, are suddenly negative, or suddenly thinking, you're thinking things that are just, you know, not showing fruits of the Spirit at all.
Right.
And so those very likely are not your thoughts. So just stop and recognize them, rebuke them in the name of Jesus, cast them out, and be on your way, so that you don't continue on down the wrong path of starting to produce fruits of the flesh, right? And which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, and cowardice.
Yes.
And so all of those things, if you don't stop and take control of your thoughts and you know, realign yourself to the narrow path, you know, that's the whole process of refining and self-control.
Yes.
And changing your thoughts and your heart so that you're right with the Lord, and that you can recognize the second you get off that path and actually stop to correct it.
Yes. And because you don't want to be found not worthy.
Exactly.
And that doesn't mean you'll... And see, here's the thing. You're covered by the blood of Christ.
Right.
Right. He forgives your sins. So, I don't know, if you were killed in a car accident, you're probably going to heaven.
Right.
But what if you maybe have salvation, but you are not living, you're not showing the fruits of the Spirit.
Right.
You're showing fruits of the flesh, and maybe you couldn't say that you're worthy. Or why would Christ say, pray that you be found worthy?
Right.
Because maybe you just may be chosen to be tested some more.
Exactly.
Okay, so when you
And what better refining process could there possibly be than the Great Tribulation, right?
Yeah, so when you get beheaded, yikes, in the tribulation, you're going to heaven. But what if you didn't have to be tested?
Right.
Because you were found worthy when the time came and he came to grab the church.
Right, because you decided to start using self-control. You started taking your thoughts captive and rebuking any kind of satanic attack on your thoughts, or
right,
or on your surroundings, or your environment, whatever that you start to notice is chaotic or negative or unproductive. That's typically some sort of demonic attack, even small ones. And so,
right,
so this is a very important chapter, and especially when it talks about do not rob God. You know, are you and your families tithing? Are you guys giving to your church?
Right.
This is a terrible time for the churches to not have enough resources when they need to help people.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, be absolutely certain that, you know, that's part of the refining process as well, that you are not the center of the world.
Right.
To yourself, that whatever you have in your financial resources, you're concerned and very thrilled to be able to offer 10% of your earnings to help other people. And right. So that's what the tithe is. It's an opportunity for you to help the Lord by contributing to the church so that they can help the people that need it.
Yeah.
And if it's not your church, you can also do like we do. We tithe to
various ministries.
Yeah, different ministries, and also to Christians United for Israel. Mm-hmm. We love to tithe to them, and also different. You know, there's all sorts of different orphanages that are true. They're trustworthy with your money.
Yeah.
It doesn't go to just one or two people at the top. It actually gets distributed. And so do some research on that for yourself. But those people always need help. And that's a blessing to be able to do that.
Yes.
And so don't rob yourself from that blessing, because here's what also happens when you are so self-centric that you refuse to help other people by tithing, you know, by tithing and gifts. And if you refuse to help, this is what verse 11 is talking about. It says, well, when you do give it out, the tithing that's required, and you're no longer robbing God, it says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. So basically, if you refuse to help, by refusing to tithe, you're number one, you're stealing from God.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, that allows the devourer to come in and to take advantage of whatever else you've got with that other 90%.
Right.
That you kept, well, you kept all of it, right?
Exactly.
you kept all of it, or maybe even you just kept, you only gave out 5% or something. So still, it basically means that you just cursed all the rest of the money that you kept.
Right.
And that it'll, you know, end up falling through your fingers other ways, stuff will break down. And so when the Lord rebukes the devourer for your sake, he keeps things in working order. You know,
yes.
It's the difference between the blessing and the curse, where if your stuff is cursed, everything seems to go wrong. You're always short of money. You can never catch up. That's because your resources have been cursed, because you're stealing from God by not contributing.
Yeah. Really great message.
Yeah.
Yep, it's so true. All right. So this scripture was Malachi chapter 3.
Chapter 3, verses 1 through 11.
1 through 11. All right. Now, one thing that I keyed in on before we take a break here, this is important because we don't want to be accused of being hypocrites or double-minded or schizophrenic, because in verse 5 here, it says, I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against, and he's got all these lists. One of those items, against those who turn away an alien.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Right.
This is really important because something we're going to be talking about in segment 2, they're planning on bringing Palestinians to the United States
right.
as refugees, right? Aliens. So there's some confusion that has settled into certain parts of the church who are helping to facilitate the invasion on our southern border, and also the government-sponsored invasion of bringing Palestinians into the United States. This is something we should be standing firmly against. This is not the alien that's being talked about here in Scripture.
That's right.
And if you go to the lexicon and find the word, we've covered this before, the word alien is actually a direct it's a translation of the word ger, G-E-R in Hebrew. And of course, it's also in Aramaic. But that is a foreigner who comes in. This would be what is referring to is like a legal citizen, a legal immigrant. Like somebody who came, they went through your legal system, they raised their hand, I become an American, right? I'm going to forsake my loyalties to all other governments, all other principalities, and I am now an American, I'm going to become one of you. That is the word ger, and that is the word here for do not turn away the alien.
Right.
So mistreating somebody who's coming to be in this, because Israel had a lot of people, even when they left Egypt, they had a lot of non-Jewish, non-Hebrew people with them. they were not to be to mistreat them because they're different. Because if they're saying, hey, I'm going to take your God on, I'm going to be one of your people, I'm going to become part of your nation, and I want to be integrated to become one of you, don't mistreat that person. God's going to be against you if you do.
Right.
So this is not talking about the illegal aliens, the invasion, the pro-Hamas terrorist sympathizing people coming here under the guise of, what do you want to call it, refugee status.
Right.
So I just want to clarify that before we get into segment two and that topic.
Well, and if anybody could tell you the difference, it would be the legal aliens. The legal aliens that have gone through the process of the legal process
yep.
of immigration.
Legal immigrants. Yep.
They've gone through all of the steps that have been required before they were allowed to come here.
Right.
So that by the time they got here, everything was legal and in order and they could become a citizen. You ask one of those people the difference between them and this invasion, and they will tell you straight away, these people are illegal invaders.
Right. The immigrants, the ger, the aliens who have come here to become Americans, those are ger. And they are absolutely love America. They're patriots. And they are absolutely opposed to this invasion and bringing in hostile Muslims from Palestine.
And Chinese.
From Gaza.
Chinese military.
Well, yeah, that's just a straight-up invader. That's yep. not even an alien.
That's exactly just what they all are.
Exactly. Well, guys, stick around. We'll be back with segment two right after this. You're listening to The Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty, your Radio Free Redoubt production. Stick around.
In 1943, the following directive was issued from party headquarters to all communists in the United States. It read, when certain obstructionists become too irritating, label them after suitable buildups as fascist or Nazi or anti-Semitic, and use the prestige of anti-fascist and tolerance organizations to discredit them. In the public mind, constantly associate those who oppose us with those names which already have a bad smell. The association will, after enough repetition, become fact in the public mind.
Is a much bigger, stronger, and more powerful part. Because the truth is on our side, common sense is on our side, history is on our side, and most importantly, the heart and soul of the American people are on our side. So my message tonight is very simple. We must fight for America. We must win for America. We have no choice. And we must get out there, be proud, be courageous, make the arguments, surrender nothing, ask for every single vote to be counted, never give up, never give in, and never, ever back down. If Republicans do this, we are going to take back the House. We're going to take back the Senate. We are going to take back that beautiful, beautiful White House, and we are going to take back our country. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Good morning and welcome back. This is segment two of The Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. This segment brought to you by Katie Armor, C-A-T-I Armor, serious body armor for serious times, and that is katiearmor.com, Christian patriot-owned business. Check him out. Lady Liberty, segment two, all kinds of good stuff lined up here.
That's right, everyone. Welcome back to Wiffle Bat Wednesday. You know, we've had...
Wiffle batting them.
Yes. They've got it coming. And so we wanted to share a little bit of information about what was going on with the trial in Arizona with the ranch owner who was accused of,
yes.
of killing an illegal alien, an illegal invader on his ranch at the border. And it says that it was the jury, the hung, the hung jury was 7-1 for acquittal, with one holdout on murder with plenty of reasonable doubt and no definitive murder weapon. And so, you know, I just wanted to point out that this guy, I feel so bad for this guy.
Me too.
I really want to, his name is George Allen Kelly.
God bless him.
And no kidding. Not only does he need some support, I want to set up a GoFundMe account for this guy, because I just feel terrible for him. Here he is, an honest American that's a property owner that has every right in the world to defend his property.
Yep.
And he may not have even killed that person.
Right.
It turns out they couldn't place him as owning the weapon that.
Well, they couldn't recover the bullet, first of all.
Killed this guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Secondly, he just fired warning shots, you know, into the dark. And the claims that he had shot somebody, they went out there, I guess law enforcement went out there and scoured the place, and they never found a body. It was the next day or 2 days later?
Yeah.
And then
there was suddenly a body.
Right. And so some people are suspecting that the cartel did it to set him up, because he's been a thorn in their side. You know, calling him in to the border patrol and he's just in their way.
Right. And so, you know, I just feel bad for him. And, you know, plus there's a picture of him, and he just has this sad look on his face. He's 74 years old, you know, and just the fact that he didn't have anything. He didn't do anything wrong, and that he had to endure this, and he's still having to endure this. When I just try to imagine myself in his shoes, oh my gosh, I would be flipping out if all of these illegal invaders were coming onto my property.
You're an American citizen, guaranteed to be protected against invasion. You're being invaded. The government is not intervening. You defend yourself, which you have the right to do, and then they want to prosecute you for it.
Yes. Yep.
And the whole thing is just horrendous. Absolutely horrendous, unacceptable, and a lot of people praying for him. And by the way, I think they already have at least one. We'll have to track that down.
They have
a legal defense fund already set up.
Let's track it down, because I just feel like this guy needs a blessing, especially from all of the rest of his American compatriots, right?
Yes.
You know, I mean, here we are. He's one of us. He's getting run through the ringer. Looks like just the nicest guy, just has a ranch, had, you know, not doing anything wrong. And now he's getting just obliterated, and I just feel bad for him. So,
yep.
So, we'll check into it more. And if any of you have any input on that and feel like you want to help, maybe we could set up something that we could even maybe just send him care packages and notes saying, hey, buddy, we feel sorry for you. And we're with you as Americans, you know, we're with you as fellow Americans, and we cannot stand watching what these atrocious people are doing to you.
Yeah. We'll work on putting something like that together this week.
Yep.
So,
yep.
All right, good. And also on the front of America being invaded with the assistance of this regime, what do you got? You've got actually an audio clip, don't you, covering that?
Yeah, I sure do. I've got this clip here from CBS News where, oh my gosh, as if really, it says here, the Biden regime is considering allowing Palestinian refugees, quote-unquote refugees, into the U.S. and providing them a path to become American citizens. What? Because we don't have enough garbage going on with all the pro-Palestinian nonsense taking over all of our universities right now? Now we need the people that are actually there to be brought here also to do what?
I suspect that the 44th president, who shall not be named, is behind this, because he did the same thing with Syria and the Syrians. And and Afghans and everybody else.
I would not be surprised.
Yeah. Well, listen to this audio clip, and then we'll talk about it.
This news exclusively on CBS News. The Biden administration is considering a plan to allow some Palestinian refugees to come here to the United States. That's according to internal federal government documents that were obtained by CBS's Camilo Montoya Galvez. According to the plan, some Palestinians fleeing the war would be offered a permanent safe haven here in the U.S. And one option under consideration is to allow those who have immediate family members who are either American citizens or permanent residents to enter the country if they pass various background checks first. The plans would require coordination with Egypt, which has so far refused to allow large numbers of people from Gaza to cross the border into that country.
Okay, so that is as daft as it gets.
Yep.
Why doesn't he just tell them, hey, hop on the first plane and just fly to Mexico and walk across the border?
No kidding. We'll fly you anywhere you want to go. No background check required. And by the way, that's a bunch of bunk. They're not going to do, you know what kind of background checks they're going to do.
Right, exactly.
This is such an incompetent group of this regime. They cannot be counted on to do any kind of competent background check. And the other thing I want to key in on too, they're trying to work this deal. If they can get Egypt to allow them to come into Egypt and then take them to the United States. But Egypt is so far refused. Why? There's a reason why.
Yes,
all of these Muslim countries, all of them in the surrounding area, Jordan, which already had a bad experience taking in Palestinians, Kuwait had a bad experience, Egypt has had previous really bad experiences with taking in Palestinians. Nobody wants them.
There's
a reason why their fellow Muslim brothers won't take them in.
Right.
And the worst thing you could do is send them into Western countries, especially the United States.
Well, exactly. Because first of all of these ridiculous pro-terrorists,
yes,
pro-baby butchering demonstrations at all of our colleges, every last one of those stinking people needs to be put on an airplane and shipped right over to Gaza.
Absolutely.
A one-way ticket.
Right.
Send them the heck back home.
Right. So at Columbia University now, they've taken over some hall. So there's this, they're trying to, this is insane. The university staff are negotiating with the little terrorist supporters. And so now the terrorist supporters are demanding, get this, humanitarian aid. They're actually calling it, well, like, what do you want your students to starve and die of dehydration?
While they're like, screaming, okay, death to America, death to Jews.
Right.
Oh, please.
Yeah, you are no sympathy. Okay, first of all, you put yourself in that situation. Secondly, you're no longer students.
Right.
You are expelled. Get out.
Yep.
You were students. Now you're just trespassers and you're
terrorists
supporters.
Yep.
Get out and send them to Gaza. Humanitarian aid? Are you kidding me?
You must be kidding. So extremely disgusting.
We'll ship them, how about a case of hot sauce or Tabasco?
How about a case of Wiffle Bat?
Yeah.
And you know what? I'll tell you what. They were saying there at USC, all these students, this girl is saying, we just got, the senior class here at USC just got an email saying there would be no graduation because of these protests. And so this is the same class, she pointed out, that couldn't graduate from high school because of the COVID lockdowns.
Right.
And so they get gypped from graduating high school. They get gypped from graduating a college they just spent a fortune on.
Yes.
And so
Ivy League college, and now they can't have graduation ceremonies.
Because they're going to uphold this stupid terrorist protest.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, defund them all.
I would
defund them all and shut them down.
If I was those students and they said that, I would go find my lawyer that day and I would start a class action lawsuit.
Absolutely.
Against the school and say, I want every single dime back. Every single dime that,
yep,
I've paid here, I want it all back.
Full refund.
Now. Yep.
Full refund for all the non terrorist supporting students. The,
yep,
terrorist supporting students expelled, send them to Gaza. And refund for all of the other students that actually worked hard for their education, and they're not pulling this kind of garbage.
That's right. Well, and speaking of punching back the right way, I just wanted to point out something very cool here. Marjorie Taylor Greene has posted something on her door that, every congressman should have, and it reads, no foreign lobbying. If you enter this office seeking funds on behalf of a foreign nation, you may be in violation of 22 U.S.C. 611-62, which is Foreign Agents Registration Act. And then in big red letters underneath, it says America First.
Oh, hua.
Hua is
right. That's what I got to say about
that. That's exactly what needs to be on everybody's door. And, you know, here's the other thing. Here Biden won't call a ceasefire in Ukraine, but he'll call a ceasefire to Israel.
Right. They're not calling for peace in Ukraine with Russia.
Exactly. What's the schizo part there?
Right.
Well, obviously because Biden and all of that ilk are being paid a gazillion dollars. They are filling their pockets up with all of our tax money through this money laundering scheme. Otherwise, they would be all whimpering and all sad faced and all crybaby facing to Ukraine saying, you guys need to, you know, have a peace agreement.
Here's the duplicity of it. I picked this up off of Amir Sarfati's channel, and listen to this. Over 230,000 women and children in Sudan face starvation. Since April of 2023, in the last year, airstrikes by the Muslim Brotherhood-led Sudan Army have hit 86% of the hospitals, killing 45,000 and injuring 100,000. Like Hamas in Gaza, they've also seized all the humanitarian aid. Wow. Any calls for ceasefire?
Nope.
Nope. Crickets.
Yep.
So how about that? Looking out for the poor women and children and civilians. And no, this whole thing is a scam funded by Soros and other deep state ilk.
Right. And this was just like that retired general said in that statement that we aired on Monday, where he described that Ukraine is actually is being scheduled to be run by BlackRock.
Right.
And so this is an entirely the whole thing is about funding all of them.
Yes.
And so we've been calling that as it is, which is this huge money laundering scheme to now just go into the pockets of everybody involved in BlackRock.
Right. Yep. It's ugly, and they're going to get their comeuppance.
Yep.
Exactly the scripture that we read about. That's what God's going to come and be dropping the hammer on soon.
That's right.
Boy, we can't wait.
That's right.
Okay. And then finally, we have
a really nice uplifting clip from Trump. But,
yes.
Oh, you know what? One last thing while we're on the issue of, you know, over there in Ukraine, I saw this was a glorious little statement here. It said on Wednesday, Russia will open a new exhibit featuring over 800 units of captured NATO and Ukraine military equipment, such as the U.S. Bradley infantry fighting vehicle, the
wonderful
Swedish CV-90 infantry fighting vehicle, and the French AMX-10 RC armored vehicle. And so, I think that's really cool. Everything that they've captured, they're putting on display as like so that they can brag about it to all of the people in Russia. That's called building morale.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I were a Russian, I'd be thrilled. I'd be like, yes, we captured that and we captured that and we captured, I think that's awesome.
Well, and now all the M1 Abrams are having to be sent back off the front line because the drones that the Russians are using against them.
Oh.
So they're having to pull all those off the line. They're being plagued with the drone hits on those those battle tanks.
Wow.
So, just dumping more money into the black hole.
Yep.
I wish Russia wasn't aligning themselves with China and Iran and North Korea, but they are.
That's right.
Sadly. So, they're going to be fodder too. And that's talked about in, Ezekiel and
that's
Revelation.
Right, China is just using them. China uses everybody because they plan to destroy everybody and rule the world because they tell everybody they are superior. And
right.
So we've got this one last clip from Trump that's inspiring and just a great word that we wanted to share with you.
Treat the word impossible as nothing more than motivation. Relish the opportunity to be an outsider. Embrace that label. Being an outsider is fine. Embrace the label. Because it's the outsiders who change the world and who make a real and lasting difference.
Oh, yeah, that's... he's the ultimate outsider as far as the swamp and the deep state is concerned. And if you're not in conformance with these people, you are a threat to them. And that's where you should be. not in conformance, not absolutely. I saw this great meme. It showed a picture of a crusader knight on a horse charging forward, and he's got a sword drawn, and the meme said, "Whatever happens next, do not comply."
That's right. Yep.
You know, how appropriate for today's world that we live in, that's been taken over by the insane.
That's right.
And, you know, so, yeah, words to live by.
Yep. Well, and that's what he's describing there is a leader. Every leader stands out from the crowd. They're always different.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, because they think differently. They have better ideas. And pretty soon the whole crowd eventually recognizes them for that special way of thinking that leads them in the right direction.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Good leaders. We need them. That's right. For sure. Well, we're out of time, but you guys have a blessed day out there. You be safe, be vigilant, keep the Republic in your prayers, pray for Israel, and join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. right here for the morning commute.
That's right. You all have a wonderful Wiffle Bat Wednesday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.